This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. At this hour, the Independent Commission redrawing new legislative district boundaries for Michigan is holding a public meeting. They're talking about procedural rules, hearing presentations on voting rights and other issues. The commission's work concerns new maps for both state and federal offices. Its mission is to reverse partisan gerrymandering. Politically speaking, this is a big deal. Our state could end up losing or gaining a seat in Congress, and it might mean some shifts in the state legislature as well. With us today are Sue Hammersmith, Executive Director of the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. She does not have a vote, but helps keep the commission's business moving along. And also Nancy Wong, Executive Director of Voters Not Politicians. That's the nonprofit that campaigned to help make this change possible in state procedures. Sue, Nancy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Sue, you were just appointed in December. Can you tell us a little bit about what things have been like and how the pandemic has affected the work of the commission?
The pandemic has resulted in all our meetings being virtual, and so I've only met people on a computer. However, I do feel like I know the commissioners, and I'm really amazed at how respectful they are of each other and how committed they are to the mission of the redistricting so that it will be fair and non-partial.
Yeah. Can you give us an idea of what goes on in the meetings?
Typically, we start out with opportunities for public comment. We welcome anybody from the public to sign up through the Secretary of State website in the Redistricting Michigan section. And they can speak to the commission if they choose to speak. So we get reports from the executive director and legal counsel. So the staff is reporting on the work they're doing in between meetings. And then we get into the heart of the business. So it may be approving an RFP for a consultant of some kind that the commission needs. We're working on rules of procedure. Budget, anything to do with the administrative role of this commission at this time.
I think I assumed back in early 2020, before we knew what was going to happen, that this would be a very closely followed process and that a lot of the public would be very interested in what's going on. You know, it's a first of its kind moment for Michigan. Have a lot of people been attending the meetings virtually?
There have been people attending meetings. We'd love to have more. Again, everything we do is through open meetings. So it's there out in the public for anybody to see. And we really welcome people to get engaged with us in any way, whether it's attending meetings and only watching or whether they want to give public comment. We welcome that citizen participation. That's why citizen is in the name.
Yeah. Nancy Wong, the group that you lead, Voters Not Politicians, helped set this in motion by campaigning to pass Proposal 2. What's it like seeing where the commission is now getting started?
It's thrilling, really. You were asking about, you know, whether the public was interested in attending these commission meetings. And I will say that Voters Not Politicians volunteers, you know, many of us have been attending every single commission meeting. And we've been marveling at, you know, the kind of realization of our vision, really the Michigan public's vision, of this really transparent citizen-led process that is, you know, fair and impartial. It puts voters first and at the center of redistricting, which of course is completely opposite of what we had before with gerrymandering. So, and we're looking forward to this last part where we really get community members to come and give their input and, you know, where we start the map making process.
Nancy, I'm going to ask you this question, but Sue, if you'd like to chime in, please do. I wondered if you could explain what information is needed to understand where the new districts will be drawn. What is the basis for what the commission is going to be making its decisions?
Right. So this process that's citizen-led, you know, by our 13-member Citizens Commission, their task under the Constitution is to draw election districts for the state of Michigan, you know, our state legislative and congressional districts, in a way that really reflects the diversity of the state and respects communities of interest. And what that means is, you know, we are, again, we're changing the way our maps are drawn from what they were, you know, how they were drawn before, which was, you know, politicians and behind closed doors, getting together and really actually splitting our communities whenever they needed to for partisan benefit, you know, when they needed to really, you know, take, if you had a certain group that tended to vote Democratic, for example, the Republicans in power would really intentionally split up that group in order that, you know, to dilute their voting power. And here it is completely the opposite process. So the commission has to take into account and preserve, you know, these communities where they exist in order that they can vote when they have a shared interest, be it, you know, economic or cultural, and so that they can elect the representative of their choice. But the commission, of course, isn't gonna know where the boundaries of all of our existing communities are. So that's where all of the education and public outreach that groups like Voters Not Politicians and other nonprofits, good government groups like League of Women Voters and Michigan Nonprofit Association are really trying to get the word out. We're doing widespread statewide public outreach to tell communities, hey, here's your chance to advocate for yourself. And this is what the commission needs to know. It needs to know what interests you share, you know, with your neighbors. What makes you a community? Is it, you know, economic? Are you rural? Are you a farming community? You know, what interests do you want to be represented in Lansing or Washington, D.C.? You know, what makes it so that you should be kept together when you're voting? And they need to know, you know, what interests you have, and then also where the boundaries are of your community. So, you know, does it go past this highway? You know, does it go, you know, this far north? What are your kind of landmarks that identify, you know, where your community should lie and not be broken up? And it needs to have that information in a way that's kind of actionable. So we've learned from commissions in other states that, like California, that what's really helpful for a commission is to actually have a map. You know, if you, and you can draw it on Google Maps, you can draw it using, you know, software, but an actual showing of, you know, here are the roads and here are the boundaries of our community. And then the commission really could use, you know, testimony from community members, again, explaining like, why did you, you know, submit this map and why are you advocating for these particular boundaries?
A key source for the information that the committee needs is the U.S. Census. And we know now that the census may not deliver some of the demographic information, a great amount of the demographic information that's needed until July. There's a September 17th deadline that the commission is working with, Sue. How are you structuring what to do with your time in the interim when, you know, there's just these months and months before those critical numbers come in?
Oh, well, we just heard today that the census data that is really detailed may not come until the end of July. So this is going to really make the month of August busy. Again, after we have initial maps drawn, we have to have five public hearings on top of the 10 before we draw any maps. So we'll just have to have everything in place so we're ready to go. It's going to be very tight on the timelines, but these are mandated in the Constitution, and the commission will meet the timelines.
Nancy, do you worry that the issues with the census, partly caused by the pandemic and partly because of a top-down effort from the Trump administration to move, hurry things along, do you worry that that's still in keeping with what the voters approved when they approved this process? I mean, would Voters Not Politicians support any alteration of the timeline?
I'm not concerned, you know, the way, and when we would not support an extension of the constitutional deadline. And the reason is because the way the process is set up, you know, most of the commission's work really comes, you know, a bulk of it, you know, really can be done and should be done before we ever get the census data. So there's a large education and outreach component. And like I said, you know, groups like Voters Not Politicians is we're really, you know, focusing on that for our 2021 work. And the commission's job is really to listen to these communities and to understand, okay, where are your boundaries? What are your interests? You know, to have the commission, the communities understand that there should be this kind of transparent exchange of information. and that it's not just a one-time, you know, we deliver testimony. It should be an ongoing conversation. And all of that can be done without census data, without the final 2020 census data. And in fact, if the commission wants to demonstrate, for example, how maps will be drawn and how, you know, this data will be incorporated in the maps, then there is interim census data. There's the American Community Survey that comes out of the US Census Bureau, and that's available for 2018, 2019. So there is data. You could even plug in, you know, 2010 census data just to demonstrate for the public, okay, this is what that process will look like. And then once you get the census data, of course, you know, at that point, the commission will be drafting the maps, and then there's going to be another round of really intense, you know, public engagement, because of course that's when the rubber meets the road and people understand, you know, what's at stake, what are the potential like districts going to look like. But again, I think if we've done all of our, you know, collective work and have the public really involved up to that point, I think everyone really will be prepared to undertake that exercise. And then the commission has between, you know, end of July, say August to November 1st, in order to finalize, you know, the district maps for the state of Michigan. So I think if the process really proceeds and if the commission, you know, does come out with a schedule of commission, you know, hearings in the next several months to kind of, you know, start the outreach, then I think we're gonna proceed just fine. And we'll end up with fair maps and a really, you know, a process that took in a lot of public input, and that's what was intended. And I think we'll really achieve that.
Sue, can you give us a sense of how confident you are that the commission can deliver something that will be acceptable to the voters?
Well, I think the commitment of the commission is to deliver fair, nonpartisan redistricting for our state that benefits all citizens. So are we going to make everybody happy? Certainly not. We are very committed, and I will tell you, I've heard it from every commissioner, the commitment that they are committed to making this a fair, nonpartisan process where the citizens of Michigan are taken into first consideration with the redistricting maps.
If you're just joining us, my guests today are Sue Hammersmith. She's a member of Michigan's Independent Citizen Redistricting Commission. And we're also talking with Nancy Wong, the Executive Director of Voters Not Politicians. That's the group that ran the campaign that encouraged voters to consider this form of nonpartisan redistricting as a change to the way Michigan had been doing it for decades. I wanted to ask Nancy if we could take a minute to talk about what Voters Not Politicians has been working on now that you're sort of out of the Redistricting Commission discussion. I understand the group's been advocating for a number of reforms, including open records acts that would cover both the governor's office and the legislature. Can you tell us about what these are meant to achieve?
Sure. Well, you know, ensuring the success of the commission, of course, that is our number one priority, and we are doing a lot of public outreach around that. But, you know, we are also prioritizing getting ethics and transparency and accountability reforms through our legislature this year. And the reason for that and the urgency for that is really, you know, in response to, we've all seen the sustained disinformation and attempts to delegitimize our election. And I think that's done real damage to our democracy in the state and weakened our institutions. So there's an urgent need for us to bring, you know, transparency and accountability to our legislature in order to restore people's trust in our government so that, you know, they can work and solve the real problems that are facing, you know, facing Michiganders of across the political spectrum. And so things like open records laws, you know, closing the revolving door between legislators and lobbyists, you know, having clear conflicts of interest laws, these should not be controversial. In fact, with some of these, it's like 48 out of the 50 states have them already. They're very basic. And so, you know, we need to get them in place. And, you know, there's bipartisan support. We're encouraged to see, and we're really confident that we can do this year.
Nancy, when there's a bit of a divide in how folks from different parties talk about these issues. When Democrats talk about accountability, they may be talking about the influence of money in politics. They may be talking about bolstering people's faith in their elected officials and knowing that elections are free and fair. And when Republicans talk about these issues, they may focus on you know, some of the public health measures that have been taken on in the past 12 months, or they may, you know, they may be repeating claims about elections that have been proven to be untrue. Is it possible to craft the kind of legislation that you would like to see passed when the two sides kind of mean different things when they come to the topic?
Right. You know, I think it is possible because you're looking at the root cause for the public, you know, the voters' perspective of distrust in government. I think it comes from a fundamental lack of transparency, right? We want to know what's influencing our elected officials. You know, is it money? Is it special interest? You know, open records laws goes to that, right? It we can request records, like I said, as 48 other states allow voters to do, that allow us to see, okay, who did you meet with? You know, where did you get this draft bill from? You know, why are you acting in the way? Do you have a direct financial interest in seeing this bill pass that you've been really strongly advocating for? You know, those are the kinds of things that are just very basic and allow the voters to hold our elected officials accountable in the sense that, hey, if you're not working in our interests, especially with these fair maps we'll have in place now, you know, we get to vote you out. So that's really what I'm thinking about when I think about accountability. You know, what are our lawmakers doing? Whose interests are they working toward? And if it's not the voters, then we have the power to vote them out.
The Michigan House is considering rules that put a check on lame duck sessions and lawmaker conflict of interests. And I think House Speaker Jason Wentworth is introducing legislation to increase transparency and accountability in the legislature. Do you think that's a good step toward what you're asking for?
Yeah, I mean, I think these are the very things that we're talking about. You know, we'd like to see, like I said, you know, I think there's widespread support across the political spectrum for these kinds of reforms. And I'd like to see more bipartisan action. There are ideas that come, you know, that are great from both political parties. And I just want to see us come together. And this is a great area where we can do so, you know, because it's not controversial and it'll serve the voters of Michigan better.
The governor, as we're having this conversation, has just delivered her State of the State address. Did you hear anything in there that indicates that she's open to what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I heard her call in general for bipartisan action. You know, let's get together and solve the crises that are facing Michigan voters. And like I said, you know, ethics and transparency, it really is it's a foundational kind of process thing, right? And I think, you know, obviously we have COVID, we have infrastructure, you know, all the things that she touched on, which really are practical issues that need to be solved. But I think underlying all of that and allowing the legislators to have kind of the, you know, the ability to work in a confident way with each other needs to be that they need the voter support. And to get the voter support and confidence, we need more fairness and transparency and ethics in government.
My guests have been Nancy Wong, Executive Director of Voters Not Politicians, and Sue Hammersmith of the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. Sue, Nancy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure.
That's our show for today. I'm April Baird. We'll see you next time. Take care.